Welcome to the Detroit Tigers Minor League Tracker Podcast. I'm your host, Keenan Carter, joined once again by my partner in crime, Eric Hostetter. Hoss, where have you been, my friend?
Man, all over the place. Just a lot of travel for work and, you know, out and about, running around, taking care of, you know, life stuff.
So. I got to tell you, I'm kind of disappointed in your level of commitment to my Detroit Tigers minor league pursuits of late.
You know what? I never thought I'd say this, but I'm a little disappointed in my level of your pursuit as well. So, you know, yeah, it'll happen.
You're going to need you to step up your game a little bit. Just so you know, my level of commitment, where I stand right now is season 3, episode 12. So that's season finale of Billions. Like that's, I've got that queued up right now, and I'm doing this.
Wow. I mean, we could go two different directions with this. We could completely spoil it for anybody that's going to end up listening to this podcast, or we could just tell people if they don't watch Billions to watch Billions immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's stick to that one.
Yeah. I've gone through 3 seasons in like 3 weeks, which is a lot for me. So
yeah, it is.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to it. So maybe we get out of here. I'll get this thing edited and posted and maybe I can still catch that tonight. We'll see. The baseball season's winding down. The minor league baseball season's definitely winding down. We're inside of 3 weeks left in the regular season, which also means we're getting into crunch time in fantasy baseball for some people.
Well, for some people. not you and I.
Correct. Correct.
So crunch time never existed this year in our fantasy baseball league. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's an area where I've been negligent this year. You know, you guys invited me into your league. My first year in the league, I inherited a team. I kind of came out of the gates focused. And I want to talk a little bit about GOAT. we won't say his real name because, you know, he likes to keep a low profile on social media. I understand that. So, but we just call him GOAT. And he wins everything. He's every bit the degenerate that you and I are, but for some reason, he seems to know more about sports than us. Can you explain this for me?
I wish I could, man. I mean, anybody who's got, a Twitter handle just for fun and then a separate Twitter handle that he will not share with anyone so that we can't find out where he's getting his information from, that's next level right there. I can't explain it. I have no idea. I mean, hidden Twitter handles so that he can pick up relievers faster than anybody else can.
Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't long into this season where I learned about a term that you guys have tossed around for a couple of years now called BGE. And I said, yeah, what's BGE as I was coming up against GOAT in week 3 of this season. And that's known as the beat GOAT effect, right? Can you explain what that means?
Yeah. The beating GOAT effect. It's, essentially, well, a couple years ago and, I'm in the league with a lot of the same guys, in football as well. And man, I was rocking. I think I was like 6-1 on the season and, just shredded GOAT, 1 week. It was right around week, you know, maybe 9. Well, it would have been, I think I was 6-1. So it would have been week 8. And I just whacked him and I then lost every game the rest of the season. So that got me thinking. And then baseball season rolled around. And I start on fire. I'm like 3-4-0, something like that. And I beat GOAT and proceeded to lose, I think, my next 5 games, 4 or 5 games, something like that. So I coined the phrase, the beating GOAT effect, otherwise known as BGE. And, it takes its toll on all of us.
No one's immune. You know, I faced off against him in week 3 this year, and I destroyed him 8-3. And I, since that occurred, I am 3-12-1 for the balance of the season. But I've sort of refocused myself this week, as I know I'm out of the playoff hunt, but I have an opportunity to play spoiler, so I've really kind of made sure I'm taking a good look at my matchups every day. I've got a slim lead on him this week, and hoping maybe I can play some spoiler, knowing that I'll lose the last 2 weeks of my season if I even contend with him this week. Even attempting to win against him is frowned upon. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you can – just the thought of it strikes the fear on you. So,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
Maybe one of these days we can, you know, anonymously get GOAT on here. Maybe, you know, help some of our fans that are fantasy folks, you know, get a little edge up in their league. I don't know.
I'd like that. All right, so those of you who don't know, you can follow my Tigers minor league page, Detroit Tigers minor league tracker on Facebook. You can also catch me on Twitter at Tiger_Lifer. And Haas is at LAHaas24 on Twitter. He's got to pick up his Twitter game, but he's on there.
I'm there.
Yeah. You know, what I want to do tonight is just want to talk about some players. And I kind of just arbitrarily selected the Bless You Boys midseason top 20 prospects. You know, I had a hand in kind of putting this together a little bit, but really it's just an arbitrary thing. And I don't want to talk about the rankings and the numbers next to the guys' names. I wanted to pick a nice little subset of players and, go down the list and just kind of give some thoughts on them. So number 20 on our list was Jacob Robson, and he's an interesting one to start off with because, I've gotten into some rants on Facebook or some banter. Jim Hall is one that comes to mind. I always have some friendly banter with Jim Hall. And this past week, you know, Jacoby Jones goes on the DL, and what do the Tigers do? They call it Mikey Matsuk. And there's sort of this outrage in the Tigers online community, like, all right, we've seen enough of Matsuk. Let's see what some of these other kids can do is kind of like the theme you hear, right? We want to see Robson. And Matt Hall and some other names you'll hear thrown out there, Stewart, of course. But here's my thought on Robson. It, you know, at the beginning of the season, I would say I would have guessed that he was about to play himself out of prospect status and into an organizational player. We thought he was probably going to become another light hitting corner outfielder. But he's had a monster year. But that said, he's a 23-year-old who has played 67 AA games and 37 AAA games. So this time last year, he was in West Michigan.
Yeah.
So, to call guys up under the notion of we just need to see what we've got when you think a guy's a legitimate prospect at 23 and he's got that little experience above A ball. It's completely irresponsible, in my opinion. No matter how bad your big league team is, you don't bring up guys you think are legitimate prospects until they're ready. And, you know, a guy like Ronnie Rodriguez, okay, he played 3 years at AAA. Yeah, you call him, let's see what we've got type move to call him up. But if you think a guy is a legitimate prospect, I don't see any reason to, you know, at the tail end of a completely lost season, throw a kid like that up against big league pitching. You know, and that said, he's had a great year. He still has a 25% strikeout rate, which is awfully high for a guy that's not a 30-plus home run type guy. But he gets on base a ton, 12.5% walk rate. So he's an interesting player. I just, you know, he's not on our 40-man this year. And he's, you know, this is a guy at 2019 we take a look at and start talking about September call-ups or maybe even having him on the 40-man. I don't know.
Yeah, awfully steady progression upward, obviously, and he's done well, but, you know, that's a quick way to halt, some really nice confidence in a player that is making great strides after being taken, you know, in the eighth round 2 years ago, you know, is to just toss him in there and see what he can do. That's not ideal.
Yeah, it's not even steady. It's like already hyper aggressive. Mm-hmm. Like he was mm-hmm. last year went West Michigan, Lakeland, and then started this year at Erie and it quickly bumped up. It's very aggressive as is. To put him up against major league pitching right now, I think would be downright negligent. So we'll move on to our number 19 guy, which is Anthony Castro. And the folks over at 2080 Ball are not a fan of Anthony Castro. They have him as a 20-roll projection, which is essentially a guy that's going to top out at the high levels of the minor leagues and be an innings eater. His fastball is the only pitch that they even grade out as average. Mm-hmm. But James Chipman over at Tigetown, he loves this kid. And, you know, specifically mentions the tail and sink on his fastball. Sits 91 to 94, tops at 96, has what he calls a power curve. Change is a work in progress. Heard rumblings that maybe he's working on a little splitty. I don't know. But, you know, he's one of those guys. He's been down in Lakeland all year, so I can't see him. So I got to kind of rely on guys like Chipman who are at these games and have seen him come up over the years, and they're really high on him. They think his ceiling is as a mid-rotation arm potentially, or at least a high-leverage reliever. He's been comped to Carl Edwards. So, you know, that's yeah. So Anthony Castro, he's a guy we're keeping a close eye on. He'll bump up to Erie next year, and he's 23 already, so he's not young for a prospect anymore. We'll get him up Double A, see what he can do. At number 18, we got Ray Rivera. And Rivera was a run-producing machine in May. He started the season injured, so he missed most, if not all, in April. And he just came up, was knocking doubles everywhere, just driving in runs. Since then, he has not posted an on-base percentage over 300 in either June or July. Just 7 extra base hits since July 1st. He just turned 21 in June. You know, I don't know if sort of the dog days get to some of these guys. I mean, professional baseball is tough. It's a grind every day down in the bus leagues, right? So,
yeah.
You know, it's the most games he's ever played in his life. Maybe some fatigue setting in and trying to limp to the finish line. Maybe he's the kind of guy we'll see in fall or winter ball and stuff, and hopefully he can continue to develop a little bit next year when he'll most likely bump up to Lakeland. At 17, Dawell Lugo. No, this is a guy that is falling down prospect lists all year. It's interesting. I was listening to the Tigers SRD podcast from last week, and Chris Brown and Roger Castillo were talking about the 2019 40 man, you know, who's going to fall off this year's 40 man. So how many openings are there? Neither one of them mentioned Lugo as being a guy, that's on the 2019 40 man, which is, you know, I think entering this season, we all kind of at least expected the Tigers to consider him a 2019 40 man piece, played in the futures game. He's been listed in the top 10 of prospect lists leading into this year, but, and I love spouting this statistic. It's the .266 batting average and a .280 on base percentage.
And it's incredible that has not improved over the course of the season. I mean, it doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting redundant. I'm tired of talking about his lack of walks, but he's walked 9 times in 108 games.
That is unbelievable.
And we had hoped his power would tick up this year. He's only got 2 home runs. 626 OPS. He's only struck out 60 times. He puts the ball in play, but he's got a 302 BABIP, which is average. And when you don't walk at all, you need an exceptional BABIP to make up for your lack of ability to take a walk or lack of willingness to take a walk. He needs his BABIP to be up around like 350 to be serviceable. And that's elite BABIP. Like, that's very rare. So he's not that good at ball, at to ball contact. So I don't know. He's losing prospect status unless he does a drastic overhaul to his approach. Now we get to Sandy Baez at 16. So he's recently transitioned to the bullpen. It's been, I don't know, a little over a month now. He's made 13 appearances out of the bullpen. Hasn't gone particularly well. I mean, he's had some good outings. It's just been very inconsistent. 19 in the third innings pitched, 15 earned runs, 15 strikeouts to 13 walks. But the guy has been a starter at the professional level since 2012. So that's a long time of being in that regimen, right? And now to just being thrown into a bullpen role. We got to give him some time to adjust to getting ready on a different timeline and different throwing regimen, different workout regimen in terms of running. Like, it's just a completely different experience as a pitcher, especially a guy who's done nothing but start his entire career. So he's got explosive stuff. I'm not giving up on him yet. We got to give him some more time in that role.
Yeah.
Down at 15, we got Cody Clemens, and he's a sexy name among Tigers fans. He's tearing it up down in West Michigan, 866 OPS, hitting with pop, taking walks. But we expect that out of a guy who's a third round seasoned college hitter. It's low A ball, and he should be able to handle that. It's still impressive though. He played a full college season. It's got to be the most baseball he's ever played in his life. But he continues.
For sure,
he's got
137 at bats after basically. Well, they were in the College World Series, weren't they? Texas, or maybe they got bumped in the regional or super regional. I don't remember. Either way, they got deep. I think it was super regional at least. And then tack on 38 games. He's essentially doubled his. Well, no, that's not true. They probably played about 50 plus games in college, but this is definitely the most he's played in the summer in a year for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and he's performing. We'll get to see him in Lakeland next year also, and I suspect he'll hit at that level as well.
Seems he's playing pretty well in the field too.
Yeah, he's a good ball player. He's got a chance to be a baseball player.
You would hope so. I mean, to use those draft picks on, right?
Well, that's what Garrosh likes to say. We say about Jamer, baseball player.
Yeah.
And there's a few other guys that I kind of give that label to. Daz Cameron is one of them. And, you know, Cody Clemens got a chance to be a baseball player.
Right.
At 14, we got Sam McMillan. He has been rather overwhelmed in the New York Penn League. He's hitting 174. Base percentage is 314, so that's good. And his BABIP is 245. It's a small sample size. It's hard to tell with a young kid in 130 at-bats or whatever reading BABIP. But 245 is low, so that suggests that one of two things. I mean, he's getting unlucky, or he's just not hitting the ball with any authority. I'm not sure. But he was really good in the Gulf Coast League last year, so I have to believe that there's still some hit tool there that will reemerge at some point. I mean, I would say he's probably behind schedule a little bit at this point, even though he's 19. Back in February, Brandon Day over at Bless You Boys had him projected to start the season at West Michigan, and he's getting overwhelmed by New York Penn League pitching right now. So,
he's 235 slugging is rough.
Yeah, that Connecticut Tigers lineup is atrocious, though. There's six guys on the Tigers with 50 plus at bats who are hitting under 200.
Wow.
So yeah, I don't know if it's contagiously bad hitting environment, or if he's just having a really hard time adjusting to, velocity and more advanced pitching that he's seeing. I think he'll be okay, and I think he will start 2019 in West Michigan, and then we'll be able to evaluate him a little more. He leads the team in games played and at bat, so they're just giving him a ton of exposure. Just get as many reps as possible on this kid right now. So,
yeah.
At 13, we've got Mike Gerber, who's he's obviously now up with the big club. He missed 3 weeks in May and just hasn't really gotten into a good rhythm. At the plate all year. He's having the worst offensive year of his career. What do? We call him up and plug him into the leadoff spot in Detroit. he still hit 13 home runs in 69 games with the Mud Hens. So there's some pop in that bat. He's a serviceable to a tick above average defender. Can play center if you need him to. So, you know, I'm not crazy about Gerber, but I like the kid, and would like to see a place for him in the future. Derek Hill, number 12, ruled by many as a bust, and Here's another one that Chipman keeps reminding me, or has been started reminding me early in the season, and now that I've just kind of adopted it as my own, but I have to credit him. And it's this: Derek Hill's not able to be considered a bust yet because he has 3+ tools. Now, unfortunately, neither of them is the bat. Has anything to do with his bat. It's advanced double plus speed, advanced major league caliber center field defense, and plus arm. So a guy like that is a prospect.
Really, Bunning won a game?
Yeah. So I can't remember if it was Sherry or Karen, one of the season ticket holders down at Lakeland that I talk to quite frequently, told me he drops a bunt down once a game. They've got him bunting for a hit once a game. So, you know, a guy who's having a hard time with his hit tool, we consider him, you know, the number 12 prospect in our system, at least Bless You Boys does, and they've got him plugged into the 9-hole, bunting for a base hit once a game. It's curious.
Totally.
You'd think you'd want him batting leadoff, getting as many at bats as possible, right? But I don't know. I don't know what the thought is. Maybe we'll plug you down the 9-hole. We want you to absolutely master bunting for a base hit. Like, that's your new thing. We just, like, maybe they've decided that he cannot hit, period. So we're going to try and get you to the big leagues being a pinch runner, a defensive replacement, you know, like a guy who can find a way on base and wreak havoc on the pass. I don't know. But the good news with him is that he's at 93 games now. So he's going to exceed his professional career high. He only played in 53 games in 2015, 93 in 2016, and 58 in 2017. He's just been banged up for a long time. So it's good that he's on the field. That's step one. And the question with him this offseason is he's Rule 5 eligible. So we would have to protect him on the 40-man. And I don't know that anybody thinks we're going to do that, but if someone wants to do what we did with Victor Reyes this year, just take a guy like Hill and play him once a week and let him pinch run for your 140-year-old DH.
Right.
They could do that. If a terrible team wanted to do that, they could. So we'll see. I don't think they'll protect him, and I don't think anybody will take him, but Kyle Funkhauser at number 11 broke a bone in his foot walking down the sidewalk in Toledo. Yeah, that's a terrible way to lose a season, huh?
Walking down the sidewalk.
Funkhauser was the organizational pitcher of the month in June. Had a great June. I still have some serious concerns about him as a rotation piece. He's had a high walk rate, 4.5 walks per 9. And when you watch him, you can see he just works really deep into counts. Like, he has a hard time getting through 5 through 6 innings, start after start. In June, he was really good, and he only had 7 walks in 5 starts in June. So if he's that guy, great. But we need to see more. Yeah.
It sounds like my guy Tyson Ross.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Fantasy, man. Fantasy. Had him all year. Loves to throw pitches. A lot of them. As many as he can in 4 innings.
Yeah, that's Funkhauser. I think he's going to be more productive out of the bullpen. Just simplify his assortment, drop him down to 2 pitches. Some people, I know Emily thinks he's got the best fastball in the organization. So that's you go out there in the 7th, 8th and throw me some fastballs and break off a couple sliders. Just keep it simple and get me 3 or 4 outs. I think that's ultimately his destiny, but not everybody agrees. That's fine.
No.
All right, before we dive into the GCL a little bit, just want to mention Instagram page is Detroit Tigers ML Tracker. So you can check us out on Instagram. And it's cool. If you got an iPhone, there's the Game Takes app. It's called Game Takes. I record little daily minor league recaps over there, like little 2-3 minute recaps of the previous night's action. So you can find me on Game Takes by just looking up at Tigers Minor Leagues. So now we're into the top 10, and that's Parker Meadows. And I threw this one over to you a little bit. See what you how's our boy Parker Meadows, our second round pick, doing down there in the GCL?
Yeah, you know, it sounds to me like, you know, he's a free swinger, you know, but you know, I he's struggling a little bit, you know, in terms of average, but you know, he came in just with a lot of raw power, but you know, 24 strikeouts to 7 walks, showing he's amongst much better pitching than he faced at Grayson High School, you know. So you know, however, you know, 884 ops is OPS is pretty solid, especially with a low batting as low batting average as he has. So,
yeah.
You know, but I think he's, you know, again, we're talking about an 18-year-old kid here, straight out of high school. So, if his brother is any indication, you know, he projects as a very similar player. So, you know, he'll make strides, but just struggling a little bit catching up to professional hitting or professional pitching.
Yeah,
so,
no,
that's all.
I like
him. I'm not worried about him.
I'm pleased with what we're getting out of him so far. He's what is he? 4 home runs. Like he's hitting for extra base power.
Mm-hmm.
The striker outs, you know, he's going to strike out a little bit early on. But he's taken a few walks. So we like to see that. 6'5", 185 pound kid. Like, I like
right.
his frame. Good makeup.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. He's,
and good speed with that size too. So.
Yeah, I mean, we got him number 10 on our list. I hope that I see him continuing to hopefully tick up into the top 5 as some of these guys graduate. So I'm pretty excited. What else going on in the GCL?
Well, I was last podcast or maybe, well, it was two ago, before you had the interview on the last one, but, we talked a little bit about, the international signing time period and we talked a lot about the DSL and stuff like that. So, and I was so high on my guy Eliezer Alfonso, man. He was tearing it up down there in DSL. And I thought, man, and I didn't even bring him up, but I just liked what I saw in terms of the stat line and stuff. So I didn't bring him up. And then I started talking to you about him. And then the next thing you know, he gets bumped up to Gulf Coast League and man, he's struggling. So he, back to earth, you know, he's a catcher, we're talking about an 18-year-old kid here again. So, bumped him up. Let's see what he can do against a step up in pitching and things like that. But through 57 at bats, he was hitting at 410 down in DSL and he's hitting 260 now. So he's taking a hit for sure. Just facing better pitching, I'm sure. So we'll see, but we're only 57 at bats in. However, I will say he's 5 for his last 11.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and not only just an 18-year-old kid, an 18-year-old kid moving to the United States and,
for sure.
I mean, that's a big deal. Anybody who listened to the 619 pod with Shane Green and Castellanos, it had Victor on, and Victor was just talking about when he was a kid coming up in Florida, and he didn't know how to order food for himself.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So I mean, there's a lot of adjustments going on. It's not just baseball. It's learning how to live in a new country, and so you know. Give him some time to adjust to that, but
no doubt. Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely. Well, and then, got Jose King, another 18-year-old, middle infielder, mm-hmm. shortstop, you know, just trying to build his confidence back up in the Gulf Coast League, you know, and struggled a little bit in Connecticut and, went down but he's hitting 308 since he came back down to the GCL. So, I see that as just, you know, they saw something in him in Connecticut that, you know, he was really struggling with. And, it looks like it's been a decent move to put him back down there in the GCL and, get his confidence back up. So,
but yeah, part of that was, Wenzel Perez who
was
down in the GCL and was just tearing it up. So King's struggling. Wenzel Perez was tearing it up. They flip-flopped those guys, and it looks like, you know, Perez has kind of leapfrogged him in the shortstop pecking order.
Sure.
And you
wrote something about Perez, didn't you?
I did. I just sort of fantasizing about him as potentially the long-term successor to Jose Iglesias. So a lot of people don't necessarily believe that King's going to stick at shortstop anyway. I don't know that he has the arm strength. But I was rapping with Emily on Twitter a few days ago, but she says it's darn near 80 grade speed. So 80 is as high as the scale goes. That means he's fast. So, potentially he could be converted into a second baseman or an outfield center fielder or something like that. If he can, but he's 100 and nothing. So he needs to bulk up a little bit, and he's just a little kid at the moment, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know if you want to touch on anybody else down there, but.
How about my boy Kingston Liniak? Are you looking at him at all?
A little bit. I think the biggest thing with him is, you know, he seems to be a solid defender. You know, he's only got 22 errors in 35 games. But again, you know, he's just getting started, right? So 48 strikeouts, he's walked 5 times. So he's trying to get it figured out too. So,
yeah.
But young kid right out of high school. So,
yep. Yep, nothing really to see
to be
here
expected,
yet.
and nothing to worry about either. At the same time, I think it's just natural progression for a high school kid coming in and seeing better pitching.
Sure.
So,
okay. So Meadows was number 10. We'll move into we're into the top 10 in the home stretch here. Kristen Stewart. You know, he's on the tip of everybody's tongue all year. Everybody wants to see him. I think there's a lot of people with false expectations of what he is. He's settling into what we expect him to be, and that's a 250 hitter with 30 home run potential perennially, 85 RBI type guy. Strikes out 21% of the time, which you can live with because he walks 12% of the time. That's who he is. That's who he's pretty much been at every stop in his career, and that's hopefully what he is at the next level too. So he's not a guy that's going to come up and hit 50. He's not ever going to be a 280, you know, 375 on base type guy, I don't think. He's not the savior. And his lack of defense is going to hurt his wins above replacement. So, but we'll get a look soon enough. Hang tight. All right, number 8, Jake Rogers.
Uh-oh.
I know. I've been getting a reputation for being a Jake Rogers hater, and Chris Brown mentioned it on their podcast last week, and I thought he explained my position really well. I'm happy that Chris understands where I'm coming from, and I don't hate the guy. I love the guy. Like, I'm rooting for the guy. We need Jake Rogers. I have serious concerns, and I'm not looking at box scores. I've watched him hit, and I see serious issues, and I think they're only going to be accentuated at the major league level. I think he has a hard time covering the outside half of the plate. I think he gets a little pole happy. I think he has a massive uppercut. And I think he has a bad two-strike approach. He tries to crush everything, even with two strikes, instead of shortening up. I think he struggles with premium velocity. Like, I think major league pitchers are just going to chew that up. And, look, he's 23. He's at AA. It's his first year at AA, so there's a year of development left there. I'm not giving up on the guy. I'm just saying what I think the issues are right now. And I don't know that it's going to play in the major leagues. I hope it does. If he can do what he did this year, and here he hit another home run tonight. He's got 15.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to bring it up.
If he can hit 210 and walk the way that he does, because he does draw walks, and provide some pop. Yes, sir. Come on up. Come on up right now. My concern is, like Chris said, that it's going to be a 170 hitter with a 270 on base percentage. And that, you know, no matter how good of a defender you are, that's tough to put in a lineup every day. So, but I just wanted to meet James McCann's offensive potential, which is not a lot to ask, but I need one more year to see whether he's going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I hope he does. I hope he does. I mean, that would be a huge improvement for them.
And he's an even better defender than advertised coming into this. Like, he's nasty back there. And one of the accusations, the big criticisms of McCann is his game management and pitch calling, aside from his framing. And Rogers is just a well-rounded defensive catcher. He's just a downright weapon, too, in terms of controlling the base runners. So,
yeah.
Isaac Paredes turns 20 in February. It's hard to believe how young that kid is.
That is crazy.
Yeah, he's hitting over 300 since his call-up. Only 4 extra base hits in 21 games, but it's a 372 on-base percentage. He puts the ball in play. And, I mean, 12 home runs as a 19-year-old in the Florida State League, where fly balls go to die on the warning track, is really impressive. So, Paredes at 7. I suspect that maybe even my comrades at Bless You Boys wouldn't oppose kicking him up a touch. He's awesome. Daz. We got Daz Cameron at number 6. He came up to Erie and just was like, thank you for getting me out of the Florida State League. And just went nuts in Erie in June. It was an unsustainable pace. But he's settled down into a nice sustainable pace. He's got 35 RBIs in 52 games, 22 swipes across both levels. He hits for pop. He's a plus defender. He's Mike Cameron's son. Like, he's doing all the things Mike Cameron did for a long time in the major leagues.
Yeah.
Mike Cameron was a 3-time Gold Glove winner. He won his first one at age 28 and his third Gold Glove at age 33. So, Daz is 21. And I could see him blossoming into the absolute same type of player that his dad was. Never going to hit for a high average, but he's going to get on base a ton. Gonna swipe some bags for you. Gonna hit some homers. And gonna play a dynamite defense. Yes, please.
Yep.
Which gets us into the top 5, which is all of our pitchers. At 5, we had Bo Burrows. He's turning 22 in September, so still young. And people have to be careful with reading stats and box scores too much, because what I've been hearing about Burrows is, he's really working on his secondaries. His stats, I believe, could be significantly better if he relied on his fastball more. It's a plus fastball. If he was just trying to get dudes out, he could throw that and get dudes out. But he's committed to the process, and so he's getting out of his comfort zone. He's throwing off-speed stuff and fastball counts, and just trying to get in position where he's comfortable throwing any of his pitches in any situation and any count. And so you see that reflected in his numbers a little bit. And you still have some concerns about the walks. I mean, he still has to throw strikes. So I think maybe our expectations for him this year were a little too high. We hoped he would just go into AA and mow everybody down, but that's not realistic. He's got to go through a process just like everybody else.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he's truly buying into the process and his stats could be better if he stuck to his forte, then that would almost concern me more. You know,
right.
I think, yeah, I mean, you got to work on stuff. That's the whole point. So,
Yeah, yeah. I just think, you know, too many people get a little too held up in minor league stats. And, look, it's impossible for us to see all of these guys, for most of us to see all of these guys all the time. So we have to rely on some numbers from time to time, right? But
sure.
It's important to talk to people who know what's going on and watch these guys as much as you can and try to interpret what's really happening there. And what I see with him is he's going through a development process. That's good.
Yep.
Another guy who's developing. So we had a tie for third with our next two guys, it's Manning and Fajardo. Matt Manning. Wow. You know, the progression that he has made this year. When I first saw him in West Michigan back in April, I was like, this kid is a mess. He's got no idea where anything is going whatsoever. And when I look at the video clips of his most recent starts in Lakeland, it's not the same pitcher.
Yeah, you and I talked about him quite a bit at the beginning of the season, and I know you were very open about being concerned. Like,
yep.
Just about whether or not he's ever going to be able to corral what he's got. You know, his stuff is crazy, but is he going to be able to harness it? You know, things like that. But, I mean, wow. I'm impressed, man.
Yeah, I mean, I figured he would be able to get guys out in the Florida State League the same way that he did in the Midwest League, just by throwing gas. But it's not just gas. Like, he's throwing that curveball with confidence. It's a legit out pitch. He mowed Alex Kirilloff down with a nasty curveball the other day, and Kirilloff's one of the best hitters in the minors, and he just made him look bad. What we're seeing with him is right now is that he's fading late in games, like the third time through the order. But, you know, he's at 96 innings right now, which he threw 51 innings last year. So, you know, and he's not a kid that, like Burroughs, who has been pitching his whole life. I mean, Manning was a basketball player who happened to play baseball, and he's coming into mid August, probably approaching his innings limit. Brandon told me probably, you know, they probably have him capped at 120 innings for this year or something. So as he gets a little deeper into games, his velocity is dropping. I'm hearing from like 94, 95 down to 90, 91, 92. So a little fatigue setting in, and you're seeing his command go away a little bit the third time through a lineup. But that's nitpicking.
Sure.
He's holding Florida State League hitters to a 170 batting average. He's had a couple outings where he has gone into the sixth and seventh with no walks. So I'm ecstatic with the development of Matt Manning this season.
Safe to say that if we redid the rankings right now, that Manning would surpass Saida.
Yeah, without a doubt, no question.
Especially after tonight.
I think Manning would be a secure number two if we redid him.
Mm-hmm.
Fajardo, no, not to do it tonight. I saw he gave up three more home runs tonight. It's not just tonight.
No, I know. I just happened to see the box score earlier, and I was like, oof, ouch.
Because he gave up four home runs in his previous outing. And you know, Chipman, again, I reference him again, but he's been outwardly vocal about Fajardo and the struggles that he expected Fajardo to have at the AA level. And the biggest concern, you know, a lot of people are talking about the velocity dip. That he's gone from 95 down to 91, 92. Like, he's lost 3 to 4 miles an hour on his fastball. But the biggest concern in Chipman's mind is the lack of separation of velocity in his pitches. So you're throwing 91 fastball and you have an 87 slider. Like, it's 4 miles an hour of separation. And then your changeup is at 83. He just doesn't have enough separation there to keep hitters off balance. And, that's a recipe for trouble. And, you know, I'm not necessarily as down on Fajardo as Chipman is, but because I think he's got advanced pitching acumen, like, I think he'll figure this out, and he's not going to be a power pitcher. So he's just going to have to learn to be kind of crafty, and he's going to have to master his command. I don't think he's a top-of-the-rotation guy. But I think he's going to be a major league pitcher in the, you know, number four, number five, back end of the rotation type role, and eat some innings and hopefully have a nice major league career. Franklin Perez, we had Franklin Perez at number two, and I love Franklin Perez. And then, of course, he got hurt again. Well, I mean, they shut him down for the rest of the season with some shoulder impingement. They're saying it's just cautionary, and they're saying it's unrelated to the injury that kept him out most of this season. So that's a promising thing. Katie Strang of The Athletic wrote a really good piece about Perez and his how he was scouted coming up through the Astros system. He still is only 20 years old. He turns 21 in December, and you know, and the interesting thing on that piece from Dave Littlefield, who's the, you know, the VP of player development for the Tigers, is that they talk about his thick lower half and really strong core and the fact that he's a really big kid. They think durability in the long term is going to be his greatest asset, which is kind of ironic because he just got hurt after getting hurt. But
right. But it's not the bottom half.
Yeah, yeah. They just think long term. Like, this is kind of a weird situation. Like, it's not, durability is not a long term concern with him. So we'll see. Shoulder issues tend to lead to more shoulder issues, but I think we're all kind of dipping Perez back a few spots and lowering our expectations for him. I hope we can get him back because I think he's stud. Speaking of studs, Casey Mize. And if velocity separation is a weakness of Fajardo, it's a strength of Mize. Topping off at 96 on the fastball, splitter at 87 to 88, slider at 86, and those all grayed out as plus pitches for him. Brandon doesn't agree. He thinks the fastball is an average pitch, but let's say he's got two plus pitches and an average fastball, and then he flips the changeup up there at 81. And just for good measure, I'll throw a cutter at 90. So he's got a five pitch assortment with a 15 mile an hour gap in velocity between the, you know, the top end and the low end, and he can command all five of them.
Right.
And three of them have serious movement. Like,
okay. You're explaining exactly why he went 1-1.
Yeah.
Who rolls into Major League Baseball draft with, you know, that many pitches that are commandable and plus, you know?
Right. Yep.
So
I'm buying into Mize. We kind of put him at number one, on our list. I put him number one on my list just because I felt obligated to, but the more I learn, you know, the more I learn about him and I get to see little clips here and there, like, all right, I'm on board. I think he's going to be the man. So we'll take a little dip down in the DFL.
Yeah.
And, what's happening down in the Dominican League?
A couple guys to, you know, kind of showcase a little bit, just whether they're names that folks are familiar with or just, you know, some successes. So, you know, keep in mind, as we touched on before, you know, we're talking about kids that are playing their first year of professional baseball in almost every one of these cases. So, but, on the DSL Tigers one team, a couple guys that are interesting. Alvaro Gonzalez, 17-year-old shortstop that was an international free agent signing last year in 2017, gave $1 million to him as a bonus. He's on base, you know, almost 36% of the time, showing very versatile on offense. His walk to strikeout ratio, he's got 23 walks and 31 strikeouts, so it's not like he's, you know, he's just an on-base machine, so that's good to see. You know, so looking pretty solid there so far. Rodolfo Fajardo, 18-year-old lefty that, I mean, last year got a couple of starts, but combined last year and this year, he's 5-0 with a 2.32 ERA and 14 starts. He's got 94 strikeouts in 93 innings with 15 walks. So, you know, opponents are hitting 184 against this guy. He's got a 90 whip under one. So, you know, really solid line of stats for Fajardo. So, and he throws those left hand too. So very nice.
Lovely.
Yep. And then on the Tigers 2 team, we got Jimmy Mojica, the 18-year-old outfielder. Seems a lot more comfortable in center field, judging from what I can see. He's just had a few more errors in right field, so I think he's a little more comfortable in playing in center field. But he, yeah, definitely hitting with a little more pop this year. He's got an 833 OPS scored 42 runs in 50 games. So, pretty solid all around. Good one to keep our eyes on there. And then, of course, to kind of touch on Pedro Jr. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously a big name, paid him a significant amount of money. But he's only 17. Came up as kind of a shortstop prospect, but he's played every game he's played in at third base this year. And that was somewhat to be expected. I think a lot of people did project him to be a third baseman. Had a nice little, he's struggling for sure offensively. I mean, he's only hit 210. Had a nice little hitting streak that he hit in six straight, went 8 for 21, getting his average up to about 231. But recently he's gone hitless in his last three, so it's back down to 210. But one thing that I noticed, man, 17 errors in 120 total chances.
Mm-hmm.
That's 17 errors in 38 games. I mean, if we're talking about, that's got to get cleared up. Whether they're, you know, obviously we don't have much, you know, much to work with in terms of video or anything like that. But, you know, I'd want some more details to try and find out, man, is that fielding? Is that throwing? What's happening there? Cause that's an awful lot of errors in 38 games. So, obviously something I'm sure they're working on, but,
don't get overly concerned about errors, especially at that level of the minor leagues.
Right.
Who knows the quality of the field these guys are playing on and all that stuff.
I think
Jeter had like 4,000 errors his first 2 years of pro ball or something like that. So
yeah,
it's not that unusual.
But
that's interesting to note. And yeah, it's something you do want to see improve year after year.
So. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Thanks, man. We have a couple listener questions tonight. You want to throw the first one at me?
Ooh. Yeah.
You ready for that?
Well,
catch you off guard.
I was. I can be really quickly too. So, and you know, from your guy Brandon, he wants you to break down West Michigan's rotation for us.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone beyond Elvin holding your interest?
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Brandon. Wilkel Hernandez is holding my interest. 19 years old. Got to see him pitch. Up in Lake County, and he throws gas. And when he throws strikes, he's good enough to get Midwest League hitters out with just his gas. When he's got anything else working, he's pretty untouchable at that level, but he's inconsistent. The curveball just spins sometimes and doesn't really know where it's going. But at 19, man, with an arm like his, you just look for glimpses right now, and he's definitely shown glimpses and opened some eyeballs, so he'll be on some prospect lists going forward. I mean, the only other guy in that rotation I would say is Dane Myers, who is our sixth round pick out of Rice in 2017, I think, and you know, he's a small guy. He throws 89-90, but it seems to get on you quick. It seems to be a deceptive 89-90, at least at that level. You know, I don't know what he projects as long term, but I like him. He's pitching well, and he's a fantastic athlete. I was talking to Hasty about him, and he was telling me about, you know, there was a pop up towards the dugout, and Myers just reverted back into position player mode from his days at Rice and dove into the dugout over the railing and, like, hey man, you're a pitcher. you just have to point at the pop up. That's all you have to do.
Yeah. Up.
But so he's a good athlete, and you can just see that when you watch him pitch. You can just tell he's an athletic kid. So he's got a shot at some type of role as he moves up through the ranks. He's never going to have dominating stuff, but I like him. You know, Brad Bass is the other guy in the rotation. He's been weird this season because he's not been good for most of the season. And then last three outings, shutout. Hasn't given up a run in his last three outings. It doesn't make any sense. So, but I mean, I...
But you hope it makes sense.
It's interesting to watch. It's fun to watch. I root for all these kids, but he's not a prospect. And then the other reliever in that, reliever pitcher in that rotation is Jesus Rodriguez. He's not caught my interest. So, Wilkel Hernandez and a little bit of Dane Myers. Question for you.
Oh.
From Matthew Plementosh at MPlem19. With the haul that the Rays got for trading Archer, what does that mean for the Tigers in shopping Fulmer? Similar packages?
Well, we got to slow down on this. And I only say that because, you know, we're talking about two completely different guys in two completely different parts of their career. And the biggest part of that is they're also in two completely different situations with their contracts. So, you know, I can understand, you know, Matthew maybe looking at some stats. Some of their stats are very similar, but we're talking about a guy in Archer that's 29, that's got 109 more starts under his belt than Fulmer does. Their WARs are both very solid. Archer's got an 11.9 WAR. Fulmer's got a 10 WAR. They're both a little bit under 500, but I think that's obviously a result of the teams that they play for more than anything else. ERAs are very similar, both around 3.7. WHIPs, both very similar, but this is a question more about, where they are in their career and what their contract situation is, you know. With Archer having 100 more starts and 600 plus more innings pitched and 4 more years old, and the Rays just probably didn't want to pay him at 8.25 for the next two seasons. So he had 2 more years on his contract that Rays probably felt like, hey, if we don't make something happen now, we're gonna pay this guy $16.5 million, and we don't want to do that. Let's get some younger guys that we have under club control. Which is exactly what the Tigers have with Fulmer. You know, he's arbitration eligible through 2022. So he's not an unrestricted free agent until 2023. So I would rather see the Tigers do exactly what the Rays did with Archer. Play out this current contract, you know, come to an agreement, for the next few years. Let's see if he maintains this level. And then, okay, then you may be able to get him. What was it, Meadows and who else? Meadows, who was the haul? It was, Austin Meadows and who's the pitcher that they got in return for Archer. But anyway, you may be able to get a haul with that, but it's the right time in the contract, it's the right age, you know, those things play too much of a role to kind of consider that you can get that kind of haul from Fulmer at this age.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
I did notice something as I was taking a look at pitch mix, which, Fulmer, he mixes his pitches up very nicely. And Archer relies almost 100%, you know, almost 80% of all of Archer's pitches are four-seam or slider. Now, they're darn good. You know, those two pitches are ridiculous. But Fulmer has a really nice mix of, you know, four-seam, sinker, change, and a slider. Virtually neither of them virtually throw zero curveballs. So, and the velocity is very similar in their pitch mix as well. So, but I just thought that was interesting as I was kind of taking a look at both of them.
I think, you know, some of the criticism I think of Fulmer this year, he's been very fastball happy. Like, he gets in these modes where he's just like, I can mow dudes down and just throws fastball after fastball. But that said.
Yeah, what's interesting, you say that, and he throws 28 just under 29% four-seam fastballs, and then he throws 30% sinker and 24% sliders. So having said that and noticed that, and that's been a knock on him, it's interesting if people take a look at the mix. He's actually got a pretty even mix. I was kind of shocked to see that.
It is interesting. Yeah, I mean, the first thing I thought when I saw the question was like, wait a minute, why am I trading Homer?
Right. Well, exactly, and that's my opinion too. I mean, no, not right now. Let's see if you can work him up to being able to get to the point where you can get a couple of guys like that. But you're not going to do that now.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I understand the question. And
yeah, sure.
The Tigers aren't going to be good probably until 2022, 2021 at the earliest.
Can be your eight.
You can, yeah. By then, he's a 29-year-old front end rotation guy, but you know, you trade him now with a few years of team control left on him, you get a much bigger haul. So I kind of see it both ways. It's a conundrum in the fact, can we keep this guy healthy for four more years when we are good again? You know, there's a lot of risk associated with that. So understand the question. Appreciate the question.
Definitely.
And then I think we had one more.
We do.
Right.
And it is. Hopefully you're not watching the Erie game. If you aren't, don't. Mm-hmm. So,
Not a question.
Not a question. it was noted in our listener questions anyway, and Robert James was wondering if you were watching that game. It just mercilessly ended.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It got much, much worse after he did that.
Oh man. I mean, I don't know. It was probably 4-0 when he tweeted it or something like that.
Well,
or 4-2, 4-2 maybe.
When he tweeted it, Fieto had already given up 3 home runs.
Okay.
And then Harrisburg had a 6-run seventh. Off of that's bad. That's a rough night.
Night. 15 runs on 20 hits. Ouch.
Yeah. But Jake Rogers, 2-for-4, double home run.
That's right. Your guy.
That's my boy.
And he is.
Told you Jake Rogers could hit.
Look at your, and not to mention somebody that wasn't on this list that I texted you about.
Mm-hmm.
Look at your boy your boy Sergio in the leadoff spot tonight. Three hits and a double. He's those two guys tonight did the only damage basically. So.
And the other guy you texted me about, who's not on the list because our season or our midseason prospect list came out before the trade deadline.
Right, Willie
Castro, and he had another hit tonight. So he's got a 2-4-6-8 game hitting streak going on. I think he's hit safely in like 13 out of 14 games or something like that since joining the Seawolves. So
very nice.
Yeah, 377 coming into tonight's action with the Seawolves.
Solid.
Homers. Yeah, yeah. So, all right, man. Hey, if anybody wants to get in touch with me, and I only gave you like 9 other ways to follow me earlier, but you can also throw me an email at tigersminorleagues@gmail.com. Get some questions. We'll address them on the next podcast. Or if you just want to chat, talk baseball, shoot me an email. Awesome. Appreciate your time. Had a good time doing it tonight.
Definitely. Definitely. Appreciate it as always. Till next time.
All right, partner. Good night.
All right.
It won't be long now.
One of these days, and it won't be long.
You better come up.